world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. You know, my friend, since faith is the core of our Christian experience, the consequences of wavering faith are far-reaching. Vacillating trust can lead us to wrong decisions, of course. And though we receive an answer to prayer, we might think, you know, I can't do that. So instead of asking God to strengthen our faith, we make excuses why we are not going to obey. We may choose to postpone our obedience even indefinitely in order to do something else we consider just as worthwhile. Partial obedience is still disobedience, and it leads to big mistakes. Not only can faltering faith result in poor choices, it can also be very costly. The Israelites wandered 40 years in the desert because that nation wavered. They allowed unbelief to overtake their faith. Wavering trust can make us miss out on the blessings of God, and it often proves very costly to those we love as well. No matter how unsteady our faith is, God invites you to draw near to Him today so that you can strengthen your trust in Him. And when He does that, give Him all the glory. The president heading south today, just north of the border. The president is going to visit McAllen, Texas today as he decides whether to declare a national emergency to fund a U.S. border wall that's the center of that ongoing government shutdown. The president is expected to be joined by his senior advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, and Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. The visit comes after he walked out of the White House meeting yesterday with congressional leaders as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi again rejected his pitch to fund the border wall. Chuck Schumer called a temper tantrum. Of course he did. And on the eve of that trip to the southern border, Homeland Security Secretary there, Nielsen, told Fox News that they were disrespectful. It was disrespectful for top Democrats to accuse Republicans of exploiting illegal immigration for political gain. Speaking earlier on Wednesday, Democratic Committee Chairman Tom Perez echoed Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's language, telling America's newsroom that the whole border security crisis, it really, I believe, is a manufactured crisis. What do you think about that? Nielsen, who met with congressional leaders Wednesday in the Situation Room with the president, has played a central role in talks to end a partial federal government shutdown and called that rhetoric disgraceful. Disgraceful. So the talk continues to be at the border wall, consumed since October the 16th, but what else has been going on in America? Since Trump's October 16th tweet about the caravan and the border, do you know 547 people have been shot in Chicago? 111 have been killed, according to the Chicago Tribune. 86 people were killed in the campfire in Paradise, California. Trump did visit that after the fires, but now he's blaming California for not exercising proper forest management. An average of around 3 men are killed every day in this country by police, according to one estimate in the American Journal of Public Health, which would mean around 255 American men have been killed by law enforcement since the 16th of October. There's no real data on deaths from the opioid crisis, but with 67,000 drug overdose deaths in the U.S. every year, that's according to the CDC, it's likely that roughly 16,000 Americans have died of drug overdoses, including opioids, since October 16th. Most people know that the suicide rates continue to climb year after year, despite a healthy economy and things looking good. 7 U.S. military officers were killed in Afghanistan since October 16th, including 6 combat deaths. Trump signaled a strategic shift, but never in Syria. At least 191 civilians were killed by the U.S.-led coalition between September the 10th and November the 17th. Just some of the other things going on in America. Well, this isn't good. President Donald Trump has repeatedly advocated now for that steel slat design for the border wall, which he described as absolutely critical to border security. But Department of Homeland Security testing of a steel slat prototype proved it could be, well, you could cut through it with a saw, according to the report. A photo exclusively obtained by NBC News shows the result of that test after military and Border Patrol experts were instructed to attempt to destroy the barrier with a common tool. The Trump administration directed the construction of 8 steel and concrete prototype walls that were built in Otay Mesa, California, just across the border from Tijuana. Trump inspected the prototypes in March. He's now settled on the steel slats, or steel bollard. This design has been used by previous administrations. Just saw through that thing, huh? Amazon making news for other reasons. Oh, the biggie is the divorce of Jeff Bezos from his wife, Mackenzie. That's going to be brutal financially. And 25 years of marriage, and you know, the soon ex-Mrs. Bezos is about to become the world's richest woman. It's going to happen. It isn't clear whether the Bezos have a prenuptial agreement, although most say no, they do not. With approximately $69 billion there hanging in the balance for her bank account, if she gets that money, that would easily make her the world's richest woman. Isn't that amazing? You get married 25 years ago before any of this stuff happened, and before you know it, you're the richest woman in the world. If she gets the $69 billion, she will surpass L'Oreal cosmetic heiress Frankos Bettercourt Myers, who has an estimated net worth of $45 billion. That is something else. Not the chocolate, that's the cry today. A candy sold by a Kentucky company on QVC is being voluntarily recalled for fear that it might be contaminated with hepatitis A. That from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Bowers Candy's famous chocolates there, individually wrapped marshmallow candies dipped in chocolate or caramel, came in contact with a facility worker who tested positive for the contagious liver disease. Customers who purchased the gourmet candies after November the 14th should throw the candies away, according to the FDA. Disease could be lurking in the chocolate. And here's good news. 19-year-old Nick Wampner is alive. 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, a little surfing there on the beach in California. When a 15 to 18-foot great white shark decided to eat him, he was able to kick the thing in the face and miraculously escaped. He thinks the shark was just playing, but for him it was life and death. Telling his story worldwide now. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, I don't think I want to go surfing. More news right after this. Well, that was surviving a shark attack. How about surviving a Satan attack, huh? War. When you hear those words, you think of physical combat, armored vehicles, soldiers in uniforms, deadly weapons involved. Yet there's a spiritual war going on all around us, just as dangerous. One we often ignore or do not understand, and we have a powerful enemy working to consume us. In fact, the Lord calls him the God of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4, because of the source of evil and wickedness in our world. To overcome Satan and his attack, you got to recognize he's a real adversary. Hold your ground, stand firm, and dress for battle. Put on the belt of truth, because our enemy is the father of lies. You got to wear the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Like a protective covering, obedience guards us from harm. Since we have an enemy who prowls around seeking to deceive and destroy, we ought to suit up daily in the armor that comes from choosing God's way in our conduct and our conversation. Read Ephesians 6:12 through 13. Today, safeguard yourself by spending time absorbing the truth of God's word, the belt, and then applying them through obedient action, the breastplate. That's good stuff. Surviving a Satan attack. Lavion Goings Jr. was out of jail only 60 days when the 19-year-old walked into a bus stop and about a block from his home, actually, pulled out a gun trying to rob a woman on the far south side of Chicago. But the woman had a gun, too, and she fired first, hitting Goings in the chest. The teen ran back to his home, made it as far as the stairwell, collapsed, and died. That's where officers found him, shortly before 6 a.m. yesterday morning, just minutes after the shooting. The woman declines to talk about the shooting, but did not seem surprised that the teen lived near her in the Fernwood neighborhood. Police said she had a valid state permit to own a gun and carry a .38 caliber handgun. The teen had a record of arrests, mostly on drug charges, but last June, charged with attacking a sergeant and a police officer after he and his father were arrested during a narcotics raid. Sad story of so many, and certainly an ongoing story in Chicago. Well, the U.S. Senate last month unanimously passed a bill that would explicitly make lynching a federal crime, but not everyone is pleased with the passage of the Justice for Victims of Lynching Act. Liberty Council, an evangelical nonprofit group that opposes gay rights, and its chairman, Matt Staver, are taking issue with the bill's inclusion in the LGBTQ people. The old saying is, once the camel gets the nose in the tent, you can't stop them from coming the rest of the way in. So said Staver. This is a way to slip it in under a so-called anti-lynching bill and to then sort of circle the wagon and then go for the jugular vein at some time in the future. Staver told One News Now that his organization, which has been labeled the anti-LGBTQ hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, is lobbying lawmakers in the House to have them remove the bill's sexual orientation and gender identity language before taking that vote. Similarly, the group encouraged Congress in November to remove language about sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination from a trade agreement with Mexico and Canada. That's kind of how the enemy works. Sneaks in subtly. Isn't that the word? Subtly. We're seeing a lot of that in America today. I told you earlier in the week about Christian Bale giving Satan thanks for his role as he played Vice President Dick Cheney in a movie, and commenting on the Golden Globe Awards, Best Actor there, Christian Bale. Reverend Franklin Graham took issue. He warned that Satan's a real being who, after God's judgment at the end of time, will be cast into the lake of fire and tormented for eternity. In a January 7th post on his Facebook page, Graham wrote, "This morning, news seemed to be all about the Golden Globes. Who wore what? 10 takeaway moments. On and on it went. Really? And the one of the award-winning actors, Christian Bale, stood up and thanked Satan for the help? Wow. Satan's a real being, and the Word of God has a lot to say. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 20:10. "I'm thankful to the one who conquered death and saved my soul with his blood, Jesus Christ," said Graham. "He invited me to spend eternity with him in heaven because I repented of my sins and put my faith and trust in him." Good going. Take a news story like that and use it to the glory of God and tell people how to get saved. Good job, Reverend Graham. What's wrong with this picture? Rachel McKinnon. Rachel, that's a man. Transgender cyclist. Biological male. Placed first in a female cycling world championship competition Saturday. Number one. Nonsense. Just one more example of how screwed up all of this is. That is absolutely wrong. Well, Charles Stanley's boy Andy at it again. Yeah, Christians should quit erecting Ten Commandment displays and should instead consider making monuments dedicated to the Sermon on the Mount, said Stanley. In a column published in Relevant magazine, the North Point Community Church pastor argued that the Ten Commandments are an old covenant, no longer apply to you. If we're going to create a monument to stand as a testament of our faith, shouldn't it at least be a monument of something that actually applies to us today? Andy. Get your head on straight, young man. It's sad to see someone like Stanley, as influential as he is, he needs to distance himself from that heresy, making a public, clear, and unequivocal correction that undoes the confusion he's caused. He needs to do that today. He can preach against all kinds of things: legalism, Judaizing, exalting the grace of God, celebrating the newness of the new covenant without undermining the very foundations on which that covenant is established. Andy Stanley. Wow. You are wrong on this one, brother. And then there's this thought before the break. Today is the oldest you've ever been, yet it's the youngest you'll ever be. So enjoy this Thursday while it lasts. We'll be back with some thoughts about 2019. How you doing? Right after this. 44 years and getting better every day. Is that how you would describe your salvation experience? I was age 27 when that teenager invited me to church and I got saved. Can you say, been there, done that? I have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. If not, why not do it today? We want to thank you for listening to Hello World, the program that comes your way every day at this time, bringing you Christian news, information, and comment. Oh, we're thankful to you that support us in your prayers and your giving. And remember this station in your prayers and give to them. I know in one instance, we're coming up here in the month of February, right at the end of it, we're going to be doing Share-a-thon 2019. Looking forward to coming to Tri-Cities, Tennessee. God bless all of you, and thank you all for listening. So it's over a week now. How are you doing on those New Year's resolutions? Did you make any? I heard about Pete. He was at a New Year's Eve party. Turns to his friend Ken and says, I want a cigarette. Wait a minute, I thought you made a New Year's resolution to quit smoking. Well, I'm in the process of quitting, replies Pete with a grin. Right now, I'm in the middle of phase one. Phase one? Yeah, I've quit buying the cigarettes now. What are all of those things you and I are going to stop doing here in 2019? Or maybe start doing, like spending more time with the family? Fit in fitness, taking care of your health, exercising. Tame the bulge. Oh, that 66 to 75% of Americans are overweight. Quit smoking. Boy, oh boy, in Indiana, we're going to raise the tax of $2 a pack, $8 for a pack of cigarettes. I'm going to enjoy life more. What does that mean? I'm going to quit drinking. That shouldn't be a problem for most of you. Here's a dream. Get out of debt. Not going to happen in a year, but I guess you could get started. Learn something new, huh? Help others. Now, that's a quaint idea. It's also biblical. And this is the one I need. Get organized. One preacher wrote another in the middle of the week and asked him what he was going to preach on next Sunday. He wrote back and said he didn't know. He said he had to wait for the mood to strike him. That's poor planning. I've heard it said that if you fail to plan, yep, you plan to fail. Did you notice in these top 10 resolutions that has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, not a one of them? Some lean that way. Or that God was not included in these. That's the way it is with so many people today. They don't include God or Christ in the picture of their lives. Let me suggest to you that the Lord should be included in every aspect of your life. If you're married, you're married. Family, children, work, pleasure, play, everything. I was watching a PBS special. There's this guy on stage singing. I thought, I know that voice. Who is that guy? My goodness, Donny Osmond has grown up, had his own special. He was just running all over the stage. You know, when I was a rock disc jockey here in Fort Wayne, I took a group, six girls, selected randomly. We went down to see Donny and the Osmonds in Indianapolis, backstage, pictures with them all. Donny was just a little kid. I think he won Dancing with the Stars. Singing on his own special. It's just hard to see this grown-up man. I remember him as a little kid. Anyway, he's the former teen pop star who sang for the Osmond family. He said the show was the highlight of his career, ups and downs. I did it. But you know what? Whatever that I did it thing is, there's something much bigger and better in life, and that's being a winner in the eyes of Almighty God. We could do it here in 2019. In the new year, we need to do three things, and that is be careful, be thoughtful, and be thankful. That being careful, then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, we might read verses 15 through 20. I recommend that highly. Just remember, if we're not properly focused in life, you're going to suffer for it. And most of the time, we are too worldly or materially focused than we are spiritually focused. So be honest about it. We are not as spiritual-minded as we should be. We are far more earthly or worldly-minded. That's something to pray about today. What about being thoughtful? Thoughtful others. That's always good advice, but we're to be thoughtful of God's Spirit who lives within us. Many people are only interested in what they can get, not what they owe the Lord, and not what they can give to others. I'm reminded of several key scriptures that should be our guide in our thinking. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use that freedom to indulge in that sinful nature, rather serve one another. Galatians 6:2, Galatians 6:9 and 10, be careful. In 2019 here, instead of being self-centered, we ought to be Spirit-centered. We should think more of Him than we do about ourselves. Be more spiritual-minded than worldly or fleshly-minded. If we set our minds on Scripture and prayer and praising and serving, you're going to have a better 2019. And then last but not least, I certainly think we ought to be thankful, right? Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful in Christ, living a grateful life, will put you on the straight and narrow in this old world. People who are not aware of their blessings are not thankful. Instead, they're always looking for something else. Reading something recently, you know, nearly 70% of the people questioned by a recent Associated Press poll said that people are ruder today than they were 20, 30 years ago. Parents don't stress the importance of having manners today, such as opening a door for a female. A whopping 93% faulted parents for failing to teach children how to do it right. We should stop and think, have I been rude? Shame on us for being forgetful and unpolite. What about being rude to God? Would you ever do that? When you fail to express proper thanks and gratitude, that's being rude. And to Him we owe our greatest thanks and our greatest praise. I think God pays very good attention to us when we pray and when we don't. When we praise Him and when we don't. Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Dr. Dale Robbins wrote, I used to think that people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I've come to realize they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations any better ever. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. I complained in my spirit. It was overwhelmed. Psalm 77:3. Someone said, last year when I called my parents to wish them a happy new year, my dad answered the phone. Well, Dad, what's your new year's resolution, I asked. To make your mother as happy as I possibly can all year. Then Mom got on and said, what's your resolution, Mom? To see that your father keeps his resolution. God would certainly like us to keep His resolutions, wouldn't He? He knows that's the way to be blessed every day. Walking with the Lord, doing things His way, is the very best way to show you believe. Be careful, be thoughtful, and be thankful this year. That's it. Hello, world, for a Thursday. Again, thank you for being here. Like us on Facebook, Greg Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Serve the Lord in some way today, my friend. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. Have a great day.